A woman who needs no introduction, Mary Alice Jackson, is up next. For those of you who don't know, Mary Alice has been practicing elder law since 1992. She is a fellow of the National Academy of Elder Law Attorneys. She's a member of the Special Needs Alliance. And she left us to go back to Florida. to Pensacola with her husband, Bob, and her two standard poodles that I can't wait to see pictures of. I can't wait. All right. She's going to talk to us about the challenges of the S&T Fairness Act.
That thing advances. Okay, hi everybody. Why don't we just talk about how many studies say that between the hours of 3 and 4 or 2 and 4, 3 and 5, you're the least able to receive information. It is absolutely true for me. I finally figured out years ago that that's when I wanted to see clients because I couldn't think to draft, so I might as well talk to people. my remarks always tend to have a few introductory notes to them. And so I want, if there are a sufficient number of people of mature age in this room, I'd like a show of hands for anybody who started their special needs practice by reading Clifton Cruz's book on special needs trust. Anybody? Okay, it's not sufficiently old enough audience here. And I was talking to somebody about this, probably Steve Dale, I think. Years ago, when we started doing special needs work, because of OBRA 93, which we're going to go over again just briefly in a few minutes, nobody knew what to do. So for those of you who are new to this practice or haven't been in it for very long, you shouldn't feel as though you'll never get it. You will get it. But the resources that are out there, and one of them that I want to share with you today that has been so helpful in my discussion, are really important. And Clifton, who was an elder law attorney from Colorado Springs, Colorado, and one of the first chairs of NALA, a very distinguished man, we'll just chat for a while. I actually attended a small dinner with him with my first boss and these very esteemed elder law attorneys, about five around the dinner table, were all talking about their practices and what they were doing. And I was just, in the corner listening. And Clifton said, they were talking about billing. And Clifton said, well, what I do is I don't give them a price. I tell them that when I'm done with the work, I'm going to send them a bill. And if they think it's a fair price for what they got, then I want them to pay me. And if they don't think it's a fair price, then send me a check for what they think is a fair price. So I have thought about that over the last 30 years so often. And I have thought, don't you wish the world was still like that? Because I can't even imagine, although it would come in very handy in cases like this where it's so hard to try and figure out what a reasonable fee will be. Which is not my topic, but I can still draw it back in. So, in any event, the reason I reference Clifton is he wrote a book that talked primarily about the history of third-party trusts, since there were no first-party trusts before 1993, and then he wrote sample third-party or first-party trusts in this book. And everybody, I'm telling you, every special needs trust that you see, that you've seen anybody have in your career, some of that language started in Clifton's book. And then just a plug for the book, a second or third edition is coming out from the ABA within the next year. And I highly recommend that you get it. It's paperback, like 8.5 by 11 paperback book, and it's just full of good stuff, and including a lot of cases that reference special needs trusts back to traditional trust law. So since I didn't come out of an environment of having spent a lot of time studying traditional trust law, it was really helpful to me to go back and see those comparisons. So what are we here to talk about today?